Thank you, Father.
Praise the Lord. Let's read this scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, this timeless principle. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Amen. The word that is spoken long time ago will not return void. When we sow, we will reap. It's a universal principle. Amen. It doesn't have to be a Christian. The government sows, they'll reap. Government sows in education, they'll reap fruits of education. They put in money into the AI technology, and then we are reaping the fruit. Amen. Praise God. Principle of sowing and reaping. They sow into infrastructure, they reap efficiency. Praise the Lord. And when those countries sow in wars, they will decline. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can bring our tithes to worship you, honor you, acknowledging all that we have is yours. Thank you, Father, that you bless us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. But when we obey you with the tithing, we appropriate the blessing that's in the spiritual realm into the natural realm. We thank you, Father, the offerings that we bring, the seeds that we sow shall be multiplied back to us in Jesus' mighty name. Everyone say, amen. Praise the Lord. God called us to be a praying church, so we need to watch and pray. So I've been thinking for a while, really, why call us to be a praying church? That means he called us specifically to make this church a praying church because probably a lot of churches are not praying, probably, I said, or not effectively praying. There are preachers in full-time ministry, and God gave them specific assignments. Say, you have to pray for Brother Hagen, Kenneth E. Hagen. And their whole life was just praying for him. In fact, in his book, Plans, Purpose, Pursuit, Brother Hagen said this, he said, what I'm able to do today, because behind the scene, there are a lot of people praying for him. Because God has a special calling for him. And not only that, that's why he had more than one angel that followed him. And for him to keep, to obey the commandments of God, his mandate, his calling, fulfill his destiny, it's not just his obedience behind the scene, because he had a special calling. So there are people, God just gave them the special assignment just to pray for him. And some of them pray until, you know, they already pass on, and the assignment was passed down to somebody else. It's not just one person. As far as we know, at least six that we know. Amen. So today I want to talk to you about is keep God's commandment. The pathway to long life begins with obedience. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 to 2. My son, do not forget my law. I want you to pay attention to this word here. First thing he called us, he said, my son. So it's very personal. Do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. But in the Old Testament, none of them were the sons of God because they were not born again. In the Old Testament, the Jews are not sons of God. They're all servants of God. They're chosen ones through whom Jesus will come. And then after Jesus came, they fulfilled their purpose already. So, and the next coming of Jesus, the responsibility, the task is entrusted to the church. The church is carrying out his plan till Jesus comes. The Jews and Israel has nothing to do with Jesus coming. That's why the Old Testament and the Hebrews, it says the Old Testament is obsolete. That means from Abraham's covenant all the way to Moses' covenant, they're all obsolete. But the problem is a lot of people still go back and then hang around those covenants and think that God's going to use Israel. God's not going to use the Jews after their rapture. After the church is raptured, and it may not be the Jews in Israel now. It could be the Jews from all over the world. Most likely it's going to be all over the world. So do not forget my law. Use it to modern day context means do not forget my word. Let your heart keep my commands. For the length of days and long life. There's a difference between the length of days and long life. You may live long, but your days may not be full length of days. There are a lot of people live long. Last time told me when she was young and when she was still in going to JC, even before JC, the father failed in his business in a very early age after they just sit at home and do nothing until he's 83 years old and died. He lived long, but his days was not length of days. His days were sitting at home doing nothing. And for length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. Add to you, that means you may have, you will add. So his commandments are always for our good, destined to heal, restore and preserve us in every aspect of life. So it's very important that, you know, whenever the Lord speaks to us, we must cultivate this habit of promptly obey him. If not, sometimes we disobey him for so long until to the point that it's become irreversible. And sickness hit them, and then they wonder why. I mean, in Rhema, There are young people who just died like that in a worship team. They follow Brother Higgins to crusades. They are full-time. And in the early age, you know, I think it was 30-something, boom, they just died. When we're in school, there's a bass guitarist, the wife. My goodness, suddenly he just discovered cancer. 4 weeks' time, she just died. That time, Brother Higgins was still alive. Why couldn't Brother Higgins, a big prophet, pray her out of death? Couldn't. Because certain things you set in motion long ago, you cannot reverse already. So you can, you better reverse it now while you still can. So the great physician's prescription, whenever a patient visits the physician, the consultation usually ends with a prescription. So the physician writes a prescription because he understands the human body and knows what is necessary for recovery or continued health. The effectiveness of the prescription, however, depends upon whether the patient follows. Go to the doctor gives you a prescription, tells you, you know what to do, you don't want to do it. So you wonder why. When doctor say, you better take it out. Delay, ding, ding, dong, dong, hoping for a miracle. Sometimes this the detrimental side of faith, wrongly applied. So what, are you trying to believe for a miracle? And you don't listen what we teach. They wait. It's just too late. So this kind of practical application, you cannot learn it from the Bible. I learned it from Brother Higgins' experience. His wife had heart failure, and the doctor scheduled her for bypass or something like that. Follow the doctor's advice, but at the same time, meditate on the scripture. That's why Brother Higgins has one book called Healing Scriptures. So the wife kept on listening to that tape, Healing Scriptures, day in, day out there. But at the same time, also scheduled for bypass. But at the same time, at home, just keep listening. If nothing happened, just follow the schedule. Go for the bypass. But one day she was listening. While she was listening, she just felt a hand just went right in to her heart. From there on, she had a brand new heart and she didn't have to go for surgery. So what do you learn from there? Means you follow the doctor's advice and you meantime better go and listen, meditate on scriptures, not on finances. You need healing, don't go meditate scriptures on finances. You meditate on scriptures, the word of God that meets your need. You meditate, confess it, then believe, nothing happens. Just go for surgery. You know what's the problem with people? They fear surgery, they fear this, they fear that. They fear all kinds of stuff. I'll tell you what happens with your fear. You choke your faith. You're sitting here, you're listening to my teaching, nothing goes in. You read the Bible, nothing goes in. Your faith is choked. Once your faith is choked, you just cruise. You don't read the Bible anymore, you don't pray anymore. You may just come to church and religiously you come. But actually, your spirit is not taking in, not receiving the word of God, the word of faith. Why? Because your faith has been choked. Fear choked your faith. You're not going to receive from the Holy Spirit anymore. Thank you, Father. You don't find this kind of what I just said in the Bible. God is giving me the wisdom on how to apply faith in your life. Then what should you do? Don't just cruise. Because you're earning a good salary, things are fine. You just cruise. I'm telling you, there's no cruise ship, okay? You either moving up spiritually or you're on the decline and you don't even realize. And I can tell. I've observed your life, I can tell already. I said it before. Last time, they're always afraid of flying. Now he's flying almost every month. 1 month, how many times he flies. He doesn't talk about that fear of flying anymore. He doesn't talk about it anymore. I didn't cast the devil out of him. A long time ago, I might bind them after that. He himself walked out of it. How? Because he yields to the Holy Spirit. Else, my teaching is hopeless one. Amen. So you have to do a self-evaluation of your spiritual evaluation. Don't wait until the time comes. 60, then you found the cancer, the time you want to pray, too late, okay? Thank you, Jesus. What I'm doing today is every day, every Sunday, is prescription. Divine prescription. You're going to see the doctor give you a prescription. You follow the instruction. Amen. Do you know how Rena helped the father when her father had pancreas cancer? Make him drink Ensure milk every day. And then when he went for chemo, you know what he did? He drove himself. He went for chemo. Nobody accompanied him. He drove, went for chemo, and then he come back. Only the last period, just before he died, then there was pain. Why? Because he listens to the daughter say, you drink the Ensure milk. I was told the Ensure milk is very difficult to drink. Put honey inside, lah, sweeter. Make it easier to drink, correct? Because when chemo comes, destroy the body, you need to build it back. So you cannot take natural food really. So what you do? You drink the Ensure milk. She make the father drink, and the father submitted to her. It's the same When a doctor give you a prescription, the doctor say go for surgery, take your chemo, you better just take it. You understand? But on the other side, many people faithfully follow the prescription of medical doctors, yet neglect the prescription of God, the great physician. They carefully measure medicine, follow diets, attend appointments, and modify their lifestyle because they believe the doctor's instructions are designed for their well-being. But how much more shall we trust the prescription given by the one who created our bodies, form our spirit, understand every detail of our lives? Amen. So God's word, the Creator's instruction manual, for every commandment He gives proceeds from His infinite wisdom and from His love. God never commands anything that is ultimately harmful, nor does He forbid anything that would truly bless His children. You know why people don't follow instructions? Because of fear. They don't follow doctor's instruction because of fear. And some people don't want to submit to the doctor because that's their character. Basically, they are rebellious in submission. When Solomon opens Proverbs chapter 3, we read early on, he said, "My son, we hear more than the voice of the earthly father. We hear the loving voice of the heavenly father speaking to his children. My son, keep my commandments." Amen. And God's instruction is the instruction manual. It's just like when you buy a car, you better respect the Chinese. Nobody ever come up with a nail cutter, electronic. Just go, just put it in, it cuts your nail already. Yeah, then she has to read the instruction how to use, correct or not? You buy a car, the instruction manual tells you the tire pressure is tire pressure. Don't use diesel if it's a petrol car. You must send for servicing in a year. If you don't follow instruction manual, what happens? So the same. So God never commands anything that is ultimately harmful, nor does He forbid anything that would truly bless His children. Amen. So when He speaks to us now, remember, I told you the story about Karen, right? When the school started, second day, she was sick already, and she didn't go to school. And then the following week, she came one day, next day, my goodness, the doctor said, better send her to the hospital, or else she'll die. I looked at her, I said, my goodness. But do you know what happened? Before that, school started on the 6th of July, 25th of June. Don't know where she was, and suddenly the voice spoke to her, "Fear not." She was, huh? "Fear not." Yeah. I told you, the Heavenly Father always preempts. He always speaks to you before you reach a crisis in life. I told you last week, in the prayer group, we prayed out, she interpreted, somebody's trying to take your hands off what you're holding. The position you're holding is yours. Somebody's trying to rip you off. After that, then the opposition came. The person was put up for promotion and all opposition just came. Unjustified opposition. I can even tell that is unjustified. Amen. But God always speaks before that. God spoke to her. "Fear not." She wonder, huh? She's so happy. What? "Fear not." That's 25th of June. On the 6th of July, 7th of July, she started the following. And the following week, in the school, and then she went to the clinic. Clinic straight away called the ambulance. And told the ambulance and staff, tell the doctor to save her life. So there are instructions. When God gives an instruction, we follow. Amen. It's just like manual. Just like, you know, she bought the thing that I saw, and I was thinking, no, but she went to buy. It's not cheap. She said, wow, but it's only $9 on Shopee. And nobody ever invented this, created this. Don't say invented. The Chinese did. At first, I was wondering, don't very effective. And she said, wow, very effective. Because they have engineers there, a lot of engineers. They cannot work for big companies. They just apply their knowledge on daily things, devices. My son, the language of relationship. We read early on, when Solomon opens Proverbs 3 with the word, my son, we hear more than the voice of an earthly father. So when God says, my son, he's saying, what he's saying is, now this scripture is talking about long life and full of days and longevity. That's talking about to be able to live long and full of days is a different story. To live long, you have to be healthy. And this scripture talks about how to be healthy. He said, my son. Amen. He instructs us as his loving father, and grace before obedience. Grace always comes before the call to obey. He calls us his son. Amen. Grace before obedience. Relationship always precedes responsibility. Grace always comes before the call to obey. This is the order of the gospel. And many people in China, they think, well, grace, no need to obey God. See, obey God means it's the law. There's obedience of the law, there's obedience of faith. There are two different things. in the Old Testament under Moses, they obeyed the law of Moses. They obeyed the law. But in the New Testament, we obey the Spirit. That's the obedience of faith. Knowing we belong to the Father transforms how we respond to His instruction. So when you think that He's my Father, you don't struggle. You don't struggle to get into the presence of God. He's in you. You are in His presence. And when you pray in the known time, nothing to pray, then edify yourself. It doesn't have to take long. So I woke up, do something. Then I went back to sleep. I forgot, don't know what time. Then 6:50, I woke up. I set the alarm. 6:30, 15 minutes by faith. I edify myself. Amen. In unknown tongues. So we obey not as servant, but as His beloved children. So obedience flow out of relationship. One of the greatest misunderstandings concerning obedience is the idea of Christian obey God in order to earn His acceptance. No, you're really accepted. This gospel teaches exactly the opposite, the New Testament, gospel of grace. We obey because we already have been accepted through Jesus Christ and we are His children. Amen. So Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, having been justified by faith, we'll be born again. By faith, we believe that's how we are justified, not by you have to give up anything. You know, I bumped into somebody just 2 days ago and asked me, what do I do? I said, I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor. He's smoking. Oh, I was baptized in water long ago. I said, oh, my mother goes to the church and my father also Christian. And he said, oh, my wife's an Indonesian Muslim and he drives a taxi. Then he said, my son, first year SIT. I said, oh, very good. You're doing very well. You know, I have a son. At least, you know, he's gone to university. Then I told him, say, you should tell your son and tell your wife. Tell him that Jesus died and rose again. Already saved them. All they need to do is just say, thank you, Jesus. Be my Lord and Savior. They'll be saved. And then you will see your father in heaven. I guess I bump into him. Maybe the Lord wants me to assure him he'll be in heaven one day because he smokes. He married a Muslim wife. It is, you are saved because you are justified by faith. Faith, the day you accepted Jesus, you believe He died and rose again, you accepted Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, that's the faith. Justified by that faith. The faith of salvation, believing Jesus, amen. Unconditional. I said, just tell your wife. You know, tell your wife, Jesus really saved, also died for her. She can go to mosque, it's okay. Just let her go. It's unconditional. It's justified by faith. Salvation is by grace. Grace is unconditional, correct or not? So you get them saved, I don't care what they want to do. Correct? So unconditional. Amen? So you're justified by faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus who died and rose again for you. Amen? Justified by faith, we have, not going to have, we have the peace with God. Amen. You have peace with God. You have peace in God. You have peace with God. You have peace in you through our Lord Jesus Christ. You have the peace. And let the peace of God guide you. And many times, you know, you have to listen to the peace and listen to the Holy Spirit. And if He's leading you not to go that way, your conscience will bother you. You will lose your peace. So, love produces obedience. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14, verse 15. Amen. So our acceptance rests entirely upon Christ's finished work. Our obedience is therefore not an attempt to gain God's love, but it is our response to His love. You see, you love me, then keep my commandments. Jesus did not say, if you want me to love you, keep my commandments. No, He died for us. He said, if you love me, how you know you love? Talk on here. Oh man, I love God, man. No, you keep His commandment now. Keep His commandment means, do you do what He tells you to do? So imagine a young child eagerly obey his father because he deeply loves and trusts him. His obedience is not driven by fear, but by relationship. In the same way, mature believers obey because they know the Father loves them in the Father's heart. So do not forget my law. Proverbs chapter 3, we read early on. Solomon begins with an interesting command, do not forget my law. Forgetfulness is more dangerous than many Christians realize. Throughout Scripture, one of God's greatest concerns is that His people remember Him. Amen. Israel repeatedly experienced miraculous deliverance. They witnessed the Red Sea parted. They ate manna from heaven. They saw water flow from the rock. They watched wall collapse at Jericho. Yet after every miracle came the temptation to forget. They built a golden calf to worship the golden calf. And Deuteronomy repeatedly warned, beware that you do not forget the Lord. Amen. So people don't backslide because, you know, they forget. And some people, for many years, they tithe. Then you see they don't. So the danger of grateful neglect, forgetfulness, you neglect of the word, then worship becomes, doesn't mean anything anymore. Then you compromise. You compromise the word. Spiritual decline rarely begins with open rebellion. No, most Christians don't rebel. It usually begins with forgetfulness. People seldom wake up one morning and decide to abandon God. That's why you still find them in church. They gradually neglect His word. Prayer becomes occasional. I come to church, I'm so used to those traditional church. So people don't wake up in the morning, they rebel against God. It's gradual. They gradually neglect His word. Prayer becomes occasional. Once in a while, when they go to school, they go to university, pray. When they need a job, pray. When they want to get promoted, pray. After that, things begin to cruise. Prayer becomes occasional. Worship becomes, doesn't mean much anymore. Scripture remains unopened. The heart slowly drifts. Forgetfulness is the first step towards compromise. So every revival in Scripture began when God's people remember Him and return. So Deuteronomy repeatedly warned, beware that you do not forget the Lord. In the New Testament, does Jesus remind us? So why God commands us to remember? Because remembrance shapes living. What fills the memory eventually directs behavior. This is why Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Jesus said it, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul quoted it. We eat this bread, drink this cup in remembrance of Him. Remember what He did on the cross for us. Amen. The Christian life is built upon continual remembrance. We remember His salvation. He died and rose. What does it mean, salvation? You are saved, you go to heaven? No, remember what He did on the cross for you. His covenant. Remember His faithfulness. He's faithful. He's always faithful to warn. There, she spoke to her. I asked her, were you in fear? She said, no, I wasn't in fear. That tweaked my theology a bit. So sometimes God speaks to you, fear not, doesn't mean you are in fear. Amen. I asked Karen, were you in fear? She said, no, I wasn't in fear. That's the goodness of God. He stabilized you. If He had not spoken, she's probably in fear. Because God always does things with a purpose. So you think she was so strong, she wasn't in fear. No, because that word came to her, fear not. If you have fear of any kind, you better get rid of it. How? Rebuke that fear. 2, confess, I refuse to fear. In Jesus' name, it's in the name. The power is in the name. It's in the name. I don't know why I woke up, maybe I slept once. I cannot even stretch my back. No. I say in the name of Jesus, I say you are healed in the name of Jesus. The focus is in the name. Amen. The confidence in the name. When you command the devil to stop, don't do it a second time. Because the first time, you must have confidence in the name. When you command the devil to stop, he must stop. Not because you command, it's because of the name that you invoke. Amen. And His faithfulness, He's always faithful. Amen. He's faithful to always warn us, prepare us, guide us, lead us, help us, heal us, deliver us, keep us in health before you get sick. That's why we need to listen to Him. Fear not. Simple 2 words. If not, she probably will be in fear. In fear, she probably won't be alive today. That's the ultimate case, not the worst case. Not alive, going to be with Jesus. Amen. I told you before, Mayan came here, she said, man, I've been delivered from that, man. Since young, I've been moving, that developed a sense of insecurity. We remember His promises. We remember His words. Amen. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. So let your heart keep my commandments. Notice Solomon does not merely say, keep my commandments. He said, let your heart keep my commandments. The heart referring to your soul. Your soul. What's your soul? Your mind. Your mind, your mind. Let your mind and your will keep His commandments. Amen. So your mind, how your mind keep His commandments? You've got to put His word in your mind. Let your heart keep my commandments. The location is significant. God is not primarily interested in outward compliance. He desires an inward obedience. Amen. The Pharisees obeyed externally. Jesus said their hearts were far from God. The new covenant changes everything. And Jeremiah prophesied, I'll put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah 31, verse 33. How they write it in our minds. Now he gives us the word to read, put in our mind. That is fulfilled in the New Testament. New covenant obedience. Obedience under new covenant is not merely external regulation. It is internal. First, transformation of the soul through the Holy Spirit. Then the heart becomes the indwelling place of God's word. Where is it? The mind. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's read Proverbs 3, verse 23. Keep your hearts with diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. What's the heart? It's the mind and the will. It's the mind you think, your will you make, you decide. That's concerning every issues of life. So, if the spring remains, right? So, the Hebrew picture is then of guarding of a spring from contamination. If the spring remains pure, the river remains pure. If the source becomes polluted, everything downstream suffers. So likewise, the condition of our heart determines the quality of our lives. Our thoughts, our words, our decisions, our relationships. Remember I shared with you 1-2 weeks ago? He said it twice. He said when he just first came to this church, he has been always saying that, wow, he's not going to live long. He's not going to live past that year. But he changed. Amen? He changed. The Spirit of God, the Word of God through this church helped him to change. Amen? Why? Because he yielded to him. I have nothing to do with it. I'm just a vessel only. I just deliver what I learned from Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin taught me. He yielded to the Spirit of God. Initially, when he came, he couldn't pray in tongues. He opened his mouth, comes kulubala a few times, and he stopped praying. Now, man, my goodness. Sometimes he start praying before we start. He yields to the Holy Spirit. He yields to the Word. He changed what he says. It won't be just for nothing. Suddenly, just fear comes. There's always something that started with something that happens in your life. Then, you know, from there on, you open up the doors of your mind to it. What should you do? You rebuke the fear and you say it in the mighty name of Jesus. I refuse to fear. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So, the conditions of our hearts is our thoughts, our words, our decisions, our relationship with the Heavenly Father. All flow from the heart. This is why God's commandment must reach deeper than your behavior outside. Oh, your behavior, you know, very religious, you go to church. My goodness. I mean, one thing I cannot, I'm not like that. You know how I got saved? I told this friend of mine. He was a captain in the army, and then he just one day decided to forget about it. He told no pay leave, he went to university and study. And he had this problem, he always slipped into depression because his brother and sisters are high achievers, so he's not. But he never get promoted. He got stuck as a captain there. So he was sharing me, trying to get me to become a Christian. I said, you know, I'm not interested in going to church, you know. If I step over, he said, you're on the fence, you need to cross over to find out more. I said, if I cross over, I don't find God, I'm not interested about going to church. He said, okay, it's a deal. He said, okay, if you cannot find God, I will never bother you again. I cross over, never turn back. So it's more deeper than just about going to church. It's your heart, they must transform your desires. Amen. Don't wait until you need to pray for something, then you get serious with God. I'm telling you, he didn't come out of it because he's like that. He's never like that. He's always very serious. I mean, he has his struggle praying in tongues, his struggle about what I taught early years. But he's always serious. Don't just take God like a tua pe kong. You need tua pe kong, then you go to tua pe kong temple. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. God's commandment are expression of his love. Say, do not steal, do not bear false witness, forgive, do not commit adultery, do not fear. Like I said early on, fear and anxiety, worry will choke up your faith. Once you choke up your faith, nothing goes in. You read the Bible, it doesn't go in. You pray, you cannot, you know, you come to church, you know, you want to, you know, you sit there, you fall asleep, but you are religiously coming. For years, you go to church religiously, but your faith is choked by fear or worries and anxieties. So the commandments are like guardrails along a mountain road. They preserve lives at the most dangerous curves. So ignore the manual, you ignore those guardrails, you drive a mountain road, that's where they go off. Praise God. So early on I said already, mention purchasing an expensive car. Inside the glove compartment is the manual from the manufacturer. It says you use the proper fuel, maintenance schedule, tire pressure, engine oil, and operating procedure you don't follow. Ignoring the manual does not change how the vehicle was designed. Eventually, damage occurs. So the Creator's manual for human life is the scripture. God designed us, therefore He alone knows how to we function best. Whenever we obey His word, we are operating according to God's manual. Amen. So the promise attached to obedience, length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. Proverbs 3:2. Now we come to the length of days and peace, they will add to you. Notice four blessings. The first one, length of days. This refers to full measure of earthly life. That means you live, you fulfill your purpose. Instead of, like I told you, his father, at the age of 28, his business failed and he just stayed at home and do nothing. Then he lived long. Was his days full? No, because he didn't fulfill any purpose. This refers to full measure of earthly lives. God delights in preserving his people for, first, for your purpose, for his purpose. And while you live, you have a purpose to live. You may live because you want to accumulate your wealth because you have children, right? Amen. But you also mustn't forget God has a purpose for you to live. You fulfill your purpose, you fulfill God's purpose, then you have length of days. If not, you don't have length of days, you only have longevity. Amen? Okay, the second one, four blessings. Long life. The Hebrew expression emphasizes enduring longevity, not merely survival or sustained life. Oh, man, struggling to survive, you know. No, enduring longevity, that means not merely survival, but sustained, purposeful living. Do you live long? You live long with a purpose, amen. I read an article, it says in Japan, after they retire, the retirees got a problem. Eh? And that's because of their problem is because of the Japanese culture. Suddenly, you know, the wife wants her husband every day, don't come back early, they go out, you know, after work, they go and entertain. Suddenly, he retired every day at home. Then the wife also got problem. Suddenly, he's at home every day giving me problem. Headache. Somebody put a hand on the forehead. Headache. You know what's the solution? Bring him to church. So third blessing, peace. The Hebrew word is shalom means for far more than absence of conflict. It includes wholeness, completeness, harmony, prosperity, health, safety, emotional stability, spiritual well-being. God does not promise long years filled with misery. He promised peace. So he promised peace. Amen. Notice the word, they will add. And the word, you say, we read this scripture early on. He said, all this will be added to you. So God is the one who adds. Human effort alone cannot produce these blessings. So obedience positions us to receive what God graciously gives. So one reason obedience promotes life is that sin always destroys. Consider how God commands, protects every dimension of human existence. One, spiritually. Obedience preserves fellowship with God. So you continue to fellowship means when you read the Bible every morning, you know you're receiving. Amen. The second one, consider how God's command protects every dimension. Next dimension is emotionally. Obedience produces peace rather than guilt. Thirdly, relationally, obedience strengthens marriage, families, friendship, and churches. Fourthly, financially, honesty protects integrity. Diligence produces stability. Generosity guards against greed. Fifthly, physically, many biblical commands protect the body from destructive lifestyles. Sometimes, in the past, I remember God's warning some people, watch your drinking. You're drinking. Don't listen. The time came, you just created havoc. Physically, so God's wisdom addresses the whole person. God's commandments are not burdensome. They are comprehensive. Every dimension of human flourishing is addressed and protected within the wisdom of His word. So God commands protect every area of our lives, especially these five areas. This principle of God that never changes. God guides those whose hearts are yielded. Every time we sincerely seek God's will, we are positioning ourselves to obey His command. Amen. Keep His commandment. Well, you want to seek God's will, you want God's plan. The basis must be you want to obey His instruction, His commandments. Sometimes God's guidance comes through Scripture, sometimes through the inward witness of the Holy Spirit. Most of the time, you know, it's an inward witness. It can be a still small voice. The third method is the authoritative deep voice of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes through wise counsel. Sometimes through circumstances. But the principle remains the same. God guides those whose heart are yielded. Amen. So four ways He guides us: through counsel, through circumstances. Amen. Let's read this scripture again. Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Generally, these four ways He guides us. Amen. Praise God. Besides, through the Holy Spirit, even though, like I said earlier on, you know, she heard the voice that said, fear not. Well, it wasn't an inner witness, right, Karen? It was not an inner witness. It's stronger than inner witness. It's more like a still small voice. Inner witness is the softest. Next voice that is stronger is the still small voice. And the authoritative voice of the Holy Spirit is very strong. Amen. So hers was in between, still small voice. So it's not just inner witness. So why was it a still small voice? Because you haven't seen her face yet. That day she was sick. She was so sick. I was wondering, I said, But the doctor said, send the hospital, told the ambulance, those medics say, tell the doctor to save her life. So that's why she heard a still small voice. But she wasn't in fear. So, that voice kept her. Physically, she was almost out already, but kept her peace. Amen. And Jesus perfectly obeyed the Father. Every divine prescription ultimately points us to Christ. I always do the things that pleases Him. John 8, verse 29. No one ever obeyed the Father more perfectly than Jesus. He never acted independently, never sought His own glory, never deviated from the Father's will. And He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but yours be done. And Philippians 2 tells us, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. At the point of death, that was in the Garden of Gethsemane. So Adam's disobedience brought death. Christ's obedience brought life. Where the first Adam failed, the last Adam triumphed. And we obey Him because the Holy Spirit enables us. That's the grace of God. We obey not the law. We obey the obedience of faith is by grace because He enables us. Under the old covenant, people often knew God's commands but lacked the inward power to fulfill them consistently. That's why I began to trouble. How many times they were, in fact, after they were in captivity, they were never a nation until 1948. Do you know how long that was? Until 1948, the nation of Israel was reborn. You know, somebody's mother in China, every year keeps going to Israel. Then after we went and prayed, she came to her senses. What about those people who cannot afford to go to Israel? How? She stopped going. You don't have to keep going to Israel to be raptured, to be blessed. So what about those people who cannot afford to go? But she can afford. And she stopped going from there on. When Jesus comes the next time, it's not going to be in Israel now. It's going to be in the air. Everyone can see Him all over the world. So knowledge without enabling grace produces frustration. Paul himself describes this struggle in Romans chapter 7. Wanting to do right, yet feeling powerless to do so, Paul wrote in Romans chapter 7. Under the new covenant, the Holy Spirit dwells within every believer. And that Ezekiel prophesied, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Ezekiel prophesied over the nation of Israel, but it was fulfilled. Not by the nation of Israel, fulfilled by the church today. Amen. So for it's God who work in you both to will and do His good pleasure. Philippians 2 verse 13. So it is Him who work in us so that we obey Him. That's why obedience, He work in us, He empowers us to obey Him. That's why obedience of faith is by grace. Amen. And a lot of them don't understand the proper teaching of grace. They think, we are not under the law, you know. Why? We all talk about obedience. It's the obedience of faith that is by grace. Practically, what does that mean? It means the Holy Spirit in you work. You're not willing, He works in you until you. He knows if He works in you, you'll be willing. God knows He works in you and you're not willing, He will stop working in you. Because God knows all things. He's not going to waste His effort. Keep working. Oh, you know, you're not willing. He knew, come to a point, but He still works. He knew you'll not be willing, but He still works in you first. Why? He gives you an opportunity. Amen? You cannot accuse Him when you stand before Him. No, God, you didn't give me an opportunity. I work in you. I gave you an opportunity. You refused. He knew. He'll work in you until a point He will stop because He knows that you will not be willing. Else, He'll work in us. He knows that He'll work on us to will and we are willing. then the power of the Holy Spirit enable us to obey Him. Then it's the obedience of faith, because working us to will to obey Him means first He has to speak to us, right? So we have faith, really. But the power of the Holy Spirit enable us to obey Him. Then the obedience of faith is by grace, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. So when we obey God, it's not because, wow, you're such a super Christian. No, He worked in you because you yielded to Him. So you become such an obedient Christian. Why? Because of the grace of God. You just bow your head and just thank God He worked in you. So how do we keep God's commandment daily? Read God's word. Read God's word daily. But I told you already, if you choke your faith, you read, you cannot go in. So you start to neglect reading the word. Then you come to a point and say, you know, I'm not the kind that read. That's a lie of the devil. Read the word, you meditate on His word. Anything that you know, you felt that He's speaking to you, you meditate on it, just like when God spoke to her. Fear not, she meditate. When she was sick, she went back to that word. If God did not speak, she don't have the word of God, the spoken word to go back to. God spoke, fear not. And she did not, when she was so sick, wow, she started to read the Bible. Wow, find the word. No, she just remembered God spoke to her on the 25th of June. Fear not. Thirdly, obey Him promptly. Fourthly, practice small faithfulness. Small little things. Faithful in little things. Prepare us for greater responsibility. Responsibility means what? You start to obey Him, small little things. So one day He prompted you. Because you've been faithful. For example, He prompted you to go, like Pastor Eric, you know, when he first went to Bible school, I said, you better go prayer school. He said, wow, this Chinese guy talked to me like that. You know, Pastor Eric, what? At first, he couldn't take it. He said, why you talk to me like that, Pastor Eric? But from there on, every day, morning we go to school, afternoon is prayer school. You know what we do? Before we start school in the morning, we went to the prayer school. Prayer school, we put our books there, chop seat in front, not tissue. Tissue they throw away. We put our books there. So we can start like that. So it could be when God prompted you to go to the prayer group, you keep going. One day you pray it out. Amen. Because, you know, somebody's trying to rip your hands off of what you're holding. Because long ago, you obeyed God to continue to stay in the prayer group. Consistently, you stay in the prayer group. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. When I lead the West Coast prayer group, when there's a practical lesson, they always get up from me. So I ask them, so how, what are you going to do? So I didn't ask the older ones. So I asked for Nicole and Chloe, so how? This situation, how? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? And my question is loaded, man. Sometimes two different questions is the same answer. Nicole. Praise the Lord. So practice small faithfulness, then depend on the Holy Spirit. Never attempt disobedience apart from God's grace. Give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation from you and strengthen me with might by your spirit in the inner man. Thank you, Father. That's how you pray. This prayer is efficient prayer. Give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation, knowledge from you that I strengthen with might by your spirit in the inner man. That's Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3 prayer, shortened. Amen. Strengthen with might by your spirit in the inner man. That's Ephesians chapter 3. First part, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So yesterday I asked them a question. So what do you do? They say, one said, command. The next one said, the devil. I said, okay, add together. Can I command the devil? I forgot one more thing. Command the devil. What? Stop her. Then after that, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? It still come against you. Other people still come against you. That's how the devil use them. You bind, but they still come against you. They still find fault. Because you bind the devil, you bound already. But they're still trying to find fault with you. They're trying to push the fault upon you. They're trying to push the blame upon you. You want to know how come I bind the devil? They're still trying to blame me. Because once you bind the devil, the natural still continues. The devil use them to oppose you, to put the blame on you. When the devil stops, the devil wants to use them again. He has instigated you. The person continues to go and oppose you and put the blame on you. You have to deal with the issue in the natural. That's where this prayer comes in. Amen. Depend on the Holy Spirit by asking God for wisdom. Now, so why bind the devil? People still oppose me. Hello? You bind the devil, the natural, they have been opposing you. So they just continue to oppose you. Thank you, Jesus. So Paul said this, you know, fight the good fight of faith and to finish the race. Amen. So, Proverbs 3, verse 1 to 2, my son, do not forget So God's commandment not to chain that imprisons us. They are pathways that preserve us. When He commands us, tell us, do something, He preserves us. They protect our heart, guards us, shape our character, and position us to enjoy the fullness of His covenant blessing. As we walk in loving obedience, we discover the beautiful truth Solomon proclaimed. God's commands never diminish life. They enrich it. They lead us into peace, wisdom, and fruitfulness that characterize a life that lives in deep fellowship with God the Father. Amen. You know, let me just go back to, I've told the prayer group, it's not about just praying. You must know what to pray. After you pray, you must know what to do. Sometimes your prayer is the wrong focus of prayer. That's where the pastors come in. One time I told them, you pray like that, you still suffer. Okay? Not that your prayer got no result. You pray them out. Yeah, they'll be out. But you still suffer the consequences of that. I pray my boss out. He really try to get you, block your promotion. Your promotion will still be blocked. He can be out because you pray. But your promotion will still be blocked. What should you do? Wrong direction of your prayer. After you deal with, he try to block your promotion. After you deal with that, then pray him out according to the Spirit. According to the Spirit, okay? Amen. So that's why I told the two, I say, then you face that situation, what do you do? What do you do? What do you do? Go and see Pastor Gyo Ing, tell her about it so that she can lead you all to pray. Amen. Praise God. That's where the dynamics of the small prayer group comes in, the dynamics of the church at prayer this morning we pray.